All right, Rabosai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning. Sure to thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for Adar Aleph, Mrs. Selma Wolf, for dedicating all the Shurim and Drashos this month. With immense gratitude for the refuels from Hashem and the merit of a refuah shlema for all of those in need, and the schus of our brave soldiers and Emiras Hashem, and the schus of the return of our hostages. The Schwartzbaum family, in memory of Rabbi Aaron Schwartzbaum, Aaron Yosef Ben Meir, Zichron Levracha, and the Ziv Levine and Berman families, in memory of William Ziv, Zev Shmuel Ben Yisrael, Zichron Levracha. We thank our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Avron and Gali Elbaum, in memory of Avron's grandmother, Adele Elbaum, Chaya Bas Yisrael Pinchas, and of course we dedicate all Maseches Baba Kama Le'ili Nishmas, Master Sergeant Eliyahu Michal Charush, Hashem Yikom Domo. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Nisham Slavin Aliyah and the families in Nechama. We'll say with that, let us begin. We have a lot to do today, some really interesting Gemara ahead of us. Today's daf is Kuf Dalet 104, and we are picking up on 103b, Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. And specifically, we left off, let's actually move up a little bit. Let's go with Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon, let's say, so do you see Tosis, Rabbi Tarfon, on the right column? If you literally just move your finger leftward, there you'll get to Rabbi Tarfon in the Gemara. Suppose we just reorient ourselves very quickly. We had a Mishnah. What was our Mishnah? I stole from Reuven, and then I swore that I didn't stole, and then I admitted that I stole. So what's the halacha? I'm chayiv three things. What are the three things? Keren, principal, chomesh, additional fifth, and asham, a carbon. Now the Mishnah introduced me to the concept, which introduced us to the concept, that halacha means if I want to do tshuva, it's not enough just to go ahead. It's not enough just to go ahead and pay back, but rather what do I have to do? I have to track down the victim and pay back the victim personally. That's the goal. The Gemara just pointed out over here, the only time there seems to be an obligation to chase down the victim personally is when there was a false oath, when there was a shvua. But if there wasn't a shvua, it sounds like one could simply deposit the money somewhere. You know, with the victim's kid, the victim's shliach, Beis Din, we'll see, always works. So Gemara is trying to figure out whose opinion does that reflect. The Gemara aligned this with a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon. Remember, again, this was the case of I stole from five individuals. Didn't know exactly who I stole from, but it's one of the five. Rabbi Tarfon says, drop and run. Drop and run, right? Drop the item in the middle of the five and then run. Let them fight it out. Rabbi Akiva says, no, that's not the way it works. If you want to do tshuva, ultimately you need to make restitution to each of the individuals. The Gemara is trying to align one of these shitos with our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon would say, it's not necessarily true. Even though you swore falsely, the rabbi still tried to help you out to facilitate your tshuva. How so? The Gemara says, the Chazal instituted a great takana. What's the takana? What's the enactment? But say, listen to the following case. What happens in a situation where I want to return the object? I want to return the object. But the cost involved in tracking down the victim is even more than the amount of the theft. Right? You hear this? What do I do? What do I do in a scenario like that? So the Gemara says, so iskinu shim haisa hotza yisir ala karen, b'shalim karen v'chomosh lebezin, o maybe asham skaparlo. So I said, this is really interesting. So on one hand, we have this takana that says that halacha l'maisa, if you steal from someone and you swear falsely, you have to go ahead and pay it back. But yet, the verbiage over here is Chazal made another takana. What's the takana? If the expense of traveling and tracking down the victim is so great that it is going to exceed the value of what you owe, then Chazal instituted, you know what, deposit your money with Beis Din, bring your karban, and ultimately, again, that's your kapara. You are atoned. You are atoned. Incredible. So this is Rabbi Akiva. So also says, therefore, that's Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Akiva, ki av rabban takanto. According to Rabbi Akiva, when did the rabbis make this takana? Hecha diyad leman gazle. That's only when you know from whom you stole. The Gemara says, "Dekama hadra le mamona le mare." Ultimately, again, because there is the ability to go ahead and give back the money to the victim. All right, gazel echa mechamishit b'lo yad leman gazle. But if you stole, like in the case we mentioned above, from one of five people, and you don't know whom you stole from, where ultimately, again, if you drop it in the middle, the money is not necessarily going back to the owner. Ultimately, again, in that case, the Rabbanan did not put in this enactment. Okay, so fascinating halach over here. So Master of Rabbi Yehuda, so obviously now watch this. So now the Gemara says, Rav Huna brings up a kasha, and he says like this, Rabbi Akiva did not argue in the following case. They did not argue in the case, we'll say, of where, let's say I purchased an item from one of five people. But what? I don't know who I purchased it from. So I know I bought, whatever it is, you fill in the blank, whatever it is. I know I bought object from one of five people. I don't know who I bought it from. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Shemaniach demei mekach b'nehem u'mestalik. In that case, everyone agrees that what could I do? I could drop the purchase amount in the middle of the five and then run. Amar nechleku. So we'll say, what's the nechlokis case? Shegazel echa mechamisha b'nei adam ve'in yodeh me'ezeh mehen gazel. So we'll say, it's interesting. The theft case, ultimately again, the case that is the machlokis is the theft case. I stole from one of five people, but I don't know who I stole from. Was the first white line on 103b. Shavi Tarfon says, you just put the money in the middle over there, and what? And then you leave. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein lo takana ad sheyishalem gezel l'chol echad ve'echad. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the halacha is, you have to go ahead and pay back each individual. So we'll say, so this is actually an interesting version over here. In this version, the machlokas Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Tarfon is only in the case of theft. Let's say in a parallel case where you bought something, but you don't know whom you bought it from, everyone would agree, put the purchase price in the middle, and then you could leave. The machlokas case is where you stole from one of them, and you don't know whom you stole from. That's the machlokas Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Tarfon. So the Gemara says, "V'isa d'shtava." Now, if you would think that this applies even in a case where you swore falsely, "Mali lakach, mali gazal." So, also, if we're talking about a case where there's a false oath, then what does it make a distinction if this is a purchase case or a theft case? "V'od masiv rava." Rava brought down another kasha. Also, listen to this. "Ma'isiv chassid echad." It's a great story. There was a story with a chassid, shelakach, a pious man, shelakach mishnei bnei adam v'lo haye yodea me'izen lakach. Who bought an object from a person, but he did not remember who he bought it from. Right? So what happened? Well, say so again. He knew he bought an object. He didn't remember, did he buy it from Reuven? Did he buy it from Shimon? Uba lefnei Rabbi Tarfon, and this case came before Rabbi Tarfon. Amar lo, and Rabbi Tarfon said, Hanach demei mekach b'nei v'stalik. Ultimately, again, leave the money in the middle of the two guys, and you could leave. Rabbi Kiva said, "Amar lo, im l'chot takana, ashet eshay l'chol echad ve'echad." Rabbi Kiva said, "No, that's not the way it works. The only way to remedy this particular situation is halacha l'maisa to pay them both back." Now, if we're going to set this up ultimately again as a case of a person who went ahead and swore falsely, chassid mi mishtaba b'shikra. Ultimately, again, does a chassid swear falsely? Or is it both say, to get the name chassid, it's not just enough, you know, that's not like an average person who's doing good things. A chassid is a person who adheres to a higher level of piety. So ultimately, again, would a chassid be swearing falsely? Impossible. So this is incredible. V'chitema, the mishtaba v'hadr havichassid, maybe he swore first and then became a chassid later. In other words, we'll say, so that's the Havin. In other words, maybe, again, he wasn't the chassid at the time of the story. Bakshin, the good news, we'll say, what's the good news in this Gemara? Even if I'm not a chassid now, doesn't mean that I can't become a chassid later. So maybe at the time of the story, ultimately, again, it wasn't the chassid. The person wasn't the chassid. And later on, he became a chassid, but he swore falsely. The Gemara said, "Vaha, kol heicha da'aminan ma'isei b'chassid echad." But yet, the Gemara says, any time that we tell a story of a chassid echad, O Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, O Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. So we'll say, whenever the Gemara tells a story about a certain chassid, that always refers to one of two people, either Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava or Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, chassidim d'mei karahavu. We'll say, this is an absolutely wild statement. These men, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi, they were chassidim from the beginning. What a dramatic an overwhelmingly beautiful thing. Rabbi said, can you imagine about the Gemara being able to say that about you? That you're a person who was a chassid me'ikara. You were a chassid from the beginning. Now, what exactly that means from the beginning? From the beginning, that they obviously will say, it doesn't mean that they never committed averus. Every person commits averus, and you could be a chassid even if you commit averus. By the way, definition of a chassid, remember we had this from our Ramchal days, right? Our Silas Yisharim days. Definition of a chassid is someone who exceeds expectations. Meaning a chassid is someone who intuits what the will of God is, even beyond the stated obligations of the Torah, and tries to live his life in conformance with those intuited understandings of what the Ratzon Hashem is. He understands that mitzvos are stated expressions of divine will. Mitzvos tell you what HaKadosh Baruch Hu like, and whereas the regular person meets expectations, the chassid exceeds expectations. So beautiful. Okay, in any event, the Gemara says, so therefore, we can't be talking about a case of a false oath. Ella, Leolam Rabbi Tarfani. So we'll say, so therefore again, the Gemara says, really our Mishnah, so again, I'm both saying, let's circle back. Our Mishnah, which says that if you steal, and you go ahead and you swear falsely about that theft, and now you want to make restitution. So you owe. Karen Chomesh Asham. The halacha is you have to track down the victim and pay him back personally. So we'll say, so Dafka, this is a case where if you swore falsely, whose opinion does this reflect? The Gemara says, you're right. The Olam, Rabbi Tarfani. Umod Rabbi Tarfan, Hecha Deishtaba. And Rabbi Tarfan admits that whereas Rabbi Tarfan normally gives you a little bit of an easier way out, right? So remember again, let's go back for just a second. Rabbi Tarfan is the one who says that what? If you stole from a person and you don't know exactly who, but you know that it's one of five people, what does Rabbi Tarfan say? How do you do tshuva? Drop and run, right? You could drop the item and you could run away, right? But yet, Rabbi Tarfan would agree that in the case ultimately where you took a false oath, the stakes are higher. Right? So in other words, you would have expected Rabbi Tarfan to say, if you stole, and now you want to go and you want to make restitution, you don't have to track down the owner of a haraya. If it's a group of five, you just drop it in the middle and you run. Yet Rabbi Tarfan agrees that in a case where you swore falsely, the stakes are higher. Now you have a heightened tshuva threshold. So because you have a heightened tshuva threshold, therefore, you must track down the victim in order to go ahead and repay him. And that's your tshuva. Incredible. So the Gemara says, "My time, what's the reason?" Damar kra la sherhu lo yitnenu biyamash maso. And I will say, Rabbi Tarfan says, really, it's a pasuk. The pasuk says, in the aftermath of a false oath, you have to go ahead and return the item la sherhu lo to the person to whom it belongs. The yitnenu, you have to give it to him. So I will say, so the Torah itself seems to indicate that if you swear falsely about owing something to someone, in order to go ahead and make amends, you must give it back to him. There's an obligation of specific hashava, specific return. Incredible. But Rabbi Akiva would say, Afa gavdolo mishtava kanis. Remember, we'll say, Rabbi Akiva, the reason why the Mishnah doesn't reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva is why? Because Rabbi Akiva holds that even in a case where he didn't swear falsely, we also have this knas. What's the knas? The knas is you must return the stolen object to the person who you stole it from. To the point that what? They're going to be a kiva, even if you're not sure that what? Who is the person who you stole it from? What do you have an obligation to do? Give it to each one. Give it to each one. The Gemara says, "Tarfen michti hechad mishtabel osagid dolo hoda." So we'll say, so now, okay, so therefore, we'll say, so this is where the Gemara is holding right now. Our Mishnah, which says that if you swear falsely, that you have to track down the owner in order to go out and do tshuva, that reflects the view of Rabbi Tarfon. Because Rabbi Akiva would say that even in a case where you don't swear falsely, you're still obligated to track down the owner to go ahead and pay him back. Fine. So Gemara says, now let's analyze. Rabbi Tarfon, michti, let's analyze this a bit. Hechad mishtabel osagid lahoda. So we'll say, spread to Rabbi Tarfon, now the way we're setting it up. Is if you swore falsely. Now let's take this all together. If you, it's not just swearing falsely that goes ahead and triggers the obligation to track down the owner. What is it? It's swearing falsely and admitting that you swore falsely, because it's the admittance that now makes you chayiv keren chomesh asham. So Rabbi Tarfon, it wouldn't be enough just to swear if you didn't admit. So therefore, my area of v'nishba. So why do you have to set it up as a case ultimately as you swore? Afilu below shvua nami. The truth is, even without a shvua, ultimately, according to Rabbi Tarfon, you should be obligated to return the object directly to the owner. Why? Tisanya, Modi Rabbi Tarfon, listen to this. Rabbi Tarfon agrees in the following case. Bomer l'shnayim gazalti le'echa mikem, so mara. Ve'eni odeh ezi mikem. So here we go. I go over to Reuven and Shimon. I say, Reuven and Shimon, I know that I stole a mana from one of you. I just don't know which one of you. So what's the halacha? No sin lo zemana u le zemana. So I'll say, ultimately, again, the halacha is, I have to pay back both of them. Top of Kuf Dalet 104a. Why? Shekvar hoda mi pi atzmo. Ultimately, again, because I admitted already that I owed it. Rashi says over here, type Rashi 104a, Shekvar hoda mi pi atzmo, uba, let's say, sidei shamayim. And I'll say, remember again, once I admit the theft, so now I wanna be able to discharge my obligation in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So we'll say, now watch this. So Rabbi Tarfon agrees in this case where I admit that I stole from one of them. Even Rabbi Tarfon agrees that I will say, in order to satisfy my obligation klapei Shmaya in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, What do I have to do? I have to repay both of these individuals. Why? Because ultimately I admitted that I stole. Now what do you see from here? Now what's intriguing about this case? There's no Shavua. Right? Isn't this interesting? There's no oath in this case. What do you have over here? What do you have over here? A confession. So it appears that according to Rabbi Tarfon, once you have a confession, you are obligated to go ahead. In other words, there's two pieces to this. Once you have a confession, so ultimately, again, in the eyes, we'll call it Bidine Adam, what do you need to do? Right? Drop and roll. Right? Or drop and run. Right? Right. Wrong thing. Right? You don't have to drop and roll. You should run. Right? So again, what do? You drop the object, and then you run away. But in the eyes, ultimately, again, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Klape Shmaya, you admitted that you stole. You don't know who you stole from. Well, if you want to make good, you got to pay back both guys. So this is Rabbi Tarfon, even without a shvua. Allah Amar Rava, so once again, we're back to whose opinion is reflected in the Mishnah. Allah Amar Rava, Shaini Masnisin, the Mishnah is different, why? Dechevan, Bosei, second line, 104a, Dechevan, Diyada, Leman, Gazle, Bosei, see, the Mishnah's case is different. Why is the Mishnah's case different? In the Mishnah's case, I know who I stole from. Right, I know that I stole from Reuven. Va'odilei, and ultimately, again, I confessed. Now, granted, the Mishnah has one additional complicating layer, which is when did I confess? After an oath. So I stole. I swore falsely that I didn't stole, and then I confessed that I stole, and I know exactly who I stole from. Kevan de'efshar la'aduri mamona le'marei. So I will say, since there is the possibility, I know who I stole from. Because I know that who I stole from, therefore what? There is the ability to return the stolen object directly to the victim. Havilei kamanda amarle. Listen, this is crazy. Havilei kamanda amarle. Yihiyu li biyatcha. So I'll say now, watch this. This is fascinating. Okay, watch this progression. I'll say, when I steal from someone, and ultimately, again, I go ahead and I know who I stole from. I know who the victim was, and I admit that I stole from the person. So in general, the way it works in halacha is, in that moment, it's as if the victim says, okay, I know you have my stuff, do me a favor, hold it for me until I can get it from you. Right? In other words, it's almost as if now the thief becomes the shomer. Right? And I both say, now this makes a lot of sense. Why does it make a lot of sense? Because Lemaise, here's what's fascinating. I steal from Reuven, right? I admit that I stole from Reuven. So now, I'm not going to be able to get it back to him that second. Let's say Reuven lives somewhere else, right? I can't get it back to him that second. The halacha wants to make sure that what? That I have responsibility for that item, like a shomer, right? Until I go ahead and I get it back, ultimately, to Reuven. So therefore, it's fascinating because what happens now, the mechanics of this are that I admit that I stole. At that moment, Reuven says, okay, thank you for your confession. Appreciate your honesty. I'm gonna deposit my object with you until I can get it back. So therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, I'm still responsible as a thief, but I'm responsible for that object. Now watch this. The Gemara says, Hilchach, Nishba, and I will say in a case where I swore that I did not steal. Turns out that I lied and I confess. Afagab de kamraluhu yib libiyotcha. So even though technically speaking, now that I admitted that I stole, so Reuben says, okay, hold on to it for me until I get back. So therefore, again, the Gemara says, Kevan debai kapara lo sagi admati liyade. Ultimately, I got to say, since I now need kapara, there's an additional layer over here of a false oath. So it's not, the kapara is not complete until when? Until ultimately, again, I get the object back to his hand. So we'll say, see what's happening here? It's actually quite fascinating. In a general situation, what Gemara seems to be suggesting over here is, if I steal, and I confess that I steal, there's a certain element of my kapara, of my atonement, that has already taken effect because I confessed. Because I confessed. Right? And therefore, again, halacha l'maaseh, so the object remains with me until someone can get it back to the owner. In a case where I stole and I swore falsely, swearing falsely adds an additional level of liability that is not remedied until the object is returned to the hands of the owner. So because of that, there's an immediacy in my obligation to return the object in order to affect, my own kapara. So the Gemara says, ha lo ishtaba. So therefore, again, if I didn't swear falsely, havi gabe pikadon, it would be treated like a pikadon, like a deposit, ad da asi v'shakile. Ultimately, again, until the individual came and reclaimed it. So Rabbi say, this is really quite fascinating. So what the Gemara seems to end up saying is as follows, that the truth is there's something different going on over here. It's not even as much rooted in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, which is an interesting machlokas by itself. But rather, again, Rabbi say, swearing falsely adds an additional level of liability in a theft case. The way it works in a regular theft case is, I steal from Reuven. If I admit that I steal, okay, I now have to pay back the object, maybe even kefil, depending on what the situation is. But I will say, but now the way it works is, I am required to watch that object until somehow I'm able to get it to Reuven, or Reuven's able to get it to me. But what's interesting is the confession itself provides some level of kapara, some level of atonement. In the case where I stole, I swore that I did not steal, then I admit that I swore falsely, that additional level of liability cannot be remedied until when? Until I actually return the object. Therefore, because that level of kapara is not affected until I return the object, therefore, what does the Mishnah say? I am obligated to seek out the victim in order to return the object and complete my kapara. Absolutely incredible. Let's go back there. Itmar, shliach shaso be'edim. This is another really interesting case. All these cases are related. I make a shliach, I make an agent in front of witnesses. Now, what's the situation? Look at Rashi. Rashi's almost right across. Shliach shaso be'edim. Reuven, shish lamos biyad Shimon. We'll say, watch this. Reuven lent money to Shimon. Now, this is not a theft case right now. This is a lending money case. So Reuven lent money to Shimon. Umina shaliach be'edim lekablam hemen over nasanol. So we'll say, now watch this. Let me just take this outside for just a second. In general, if Reuven lends money to Shimon, and now Reuven wants to get paid. So we'll say, the issue is, if an intermediary is appointed to go ahead and collect the money from Shimon and bring it to Reuven, Shimon has to be very wary of that. Why? Because we'll say, what happens if something happens to the money on the way back from Shimon to Reuven? Right? Shimon wants to know that if he gave that money to someone for the sake of repayment, he's done. He's done. He doesn't want to be on the hook for it. So we'll say, so now watch this case. In this case, Reuven lent money to Shimon. Now, Reuven appointed a shaliach in front of witnesses to go and collect the money from Shimon and bring it back to Reuven. So we'll say, so now what's the shaila? What's the status of that witness? Rav Chista says it works. So we'll say, what does it mean it works? What it means is that once Shimon gives the money, Shimon is the debtor, right? Once Shimon gives the money to that shaliach, Shimon is done. It's as if Shimon has paid back Reuven, and if something happens to the money in transit, Shimon is not responsible for that. That's what it means, Havi Shaliach. Okay. Rabbi Amar Rabbi says, no, lo Havi Shaliach. Rabbi says, no. It doesn't work. In fact, again, Shimon is responsible for that money until when? Until that money actually gets back to Reuven's hands. And if something happens with Shaliach on the way back, Shaliach is robbed. right? Shliach loses the money. In those cases, halacha lemaisa, Shimon will still be on the hook. All right, so let's go on over here. Rav Chista, have a shliach, lachi tarchi lokum be'edim, delekar b'shusei. So remember again, Rav Chista says this works. This is it, right? Because remember, what is Reuven doing? What is Reuven doing? Reuven is appointing the shaliach in front of the witnesses. Right? Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? To show that this guy is an extension of me. Right? To show that this is a bona fide shlichus. And therefore, again, Shimon, when you give the money to Reuven, when you give the money to Shliach, you're done. Rabba Amar lo havi Shliach, listen to this. Rabba says, no. That's not what's happening over here. So Reuven, when he appoints the Shliach in front of the witnesses, is not appointing him as a bona fide Shliach. So that when Shimon gives him the money, ultimately, again, Shimon is off the hook. Rather, what is he doing? Hachi Kamar, here's what Reuven's saying. Inish mehemnehu, this guy, the Shliach, he's a solid guy. He's a solid guy. Isamchis samach. So Shimon, if you want to rely on him, rely on him. Ibois l'shadri biyadei, shadri biyadei. And if you want to go ahead and send it back with Shliach, you have the ability to do so. So Rabbi said, listen to this. Essentially, it's fascinating. What Rabbi's saying is, when Reuven appoints the Shliach in front of witnesses, it's kind of like a character reference. He's saying, listen, this guy is a good guy. Shimon, really, it's on you to get me that money. Right? You have to pay me back the money. So you really should go ahead and travel to me and give me the money. If you want to travel to me, listen, I could recommend this guy, Shaliach. He's a solid guy. I know him for a long time. He's a good guy. It's character reference. But I'm not saying, but this Shaliach, it's not me. It's not me. It's not Reuven. So in other words, if you would like to use him, that's your choice. But understand, you bear responsibility. And so if something happens to that money in transit, at the end of the day, Shimon, that's on you. That's on you and not on me. I'm just telling you, I've used this guy before as a courier. I've used him as a shaliach. He's dependable, right? He's got 5 stars. He's fantastic. But Lamaisa, he's not an extension of me. I just want to be clear on that. It was a very interesting. So let's analyze. So Tanan. So also we learn another interesting case. So Tanan, Hasholas Hapara Vishilcha Biyad Bino. Supposed to listen to this. So Reuven lends a cow, ultimately again to Shimon. So what does he do? Hasholas Hapara Vishilcha Biyad Bino, Biyad Avdo, Biyad Shlucho, O Biyad Bino, Biyad Avdo, Biyad Shlucho Shal Shoel. So I'll say, so now watch this. Reuven lends a cow to Shimon. Reuven sends the cow to Shimon, right, with Reuven's son, with Reuven's Eved, or with Reuven's Shaliach. Or for that matter, Shimon, who's the borrower, right, sends his son, his Eved, or his Shaliach to go ahead and retrieve the cow. And what happens? In transit, the cow dies. So Mesa, ultimately, again, the cow dies in transit. So what's the halacha? Pater. Ultimately, I will say in these cases, the borrower is going to be pater. It's going to be pater. So I'll say let's analyze a little bit. Now Rashi says over here, pater, till they'll come up birshus shoalis chay ba'onsim achiyon lo mipiv l'shachal lo biyad b'no. So I'll say, so we're going to see what's missing in this particular case over here is there was no explicit instruction from the borrower to the lender to send the animal to him this way. Right? So in other words, Reuven has agreed to lend the cow to Shimon. There was never any, let's see in the Gemara. Hai shlucho, suppose I say, so now, the point over here is, whether Reuven the lender is sending the cow in the hand of, now, the first case is obvious, right? If Reuven is sending it in the hands of his son, his Eved, his Shaliach, that means that, and it dies in transit, that means what? It was still in Reuven's Rishos. It was with his people. Right? The chiddush over here is that if Shimon sends his son, his Eved, his Shaliach, to go ahead and get the cow, and the cow dies in transit, Shimon is still Potter. Shimon is Potter. So Mar says, wow, that's interesting. What's the case? Hai shlucho echidami. So we'll say, what is the case where Shimon, the borrower, is sending his Shaliach to retrieve the cow, and the cow dies in transit? What's that case? Hai shlucho echidami. So we'll say, if it's a case where Shimon did not appoint the Shaliach in front of witnesses, then how would anyone know that this Shaliach is really the Shaliach of Shimon the borrower? Ela da'asa ve'edim. Rather, it must be that what? Shimon appointed the shaliach in the presence of witnesses. He did in presence of witnesses. And yet, what do you see? Ve'katani de'pater. And ultimately, we'll say, so watch this. Even though Shimon, the borrower, appointed this shaliach in the presence of witnesses, you still see that what? This shaliach is not considered to be an extension of Shimon the borrower. So therefore the Gemara says, Kasha l'Rav Chista. Ultimately, what do you see from here? It's a Kasha, right? Rav Chista, remember again, what did Rav Chista say? Rav Chista was the first opinion that said before that if you appoint a shaliach in front of Eidim, so what happens? What happens? That shaliach is an extension of you. He's a bona fide extension of you. Yet you see from here, in this case over here, where the borrower appointed a shaliach in front of witnesses, yet I will say, with the shaliach retrieves the cow from Reuven and it dies in transit, Shimon is not responsible, which shows you that it wasn't in Shimon's Rishos. If it's not in Shimon's Rishos, that means that what? The shaliach is not an extension of Shimon. And even though shaliach wasn't appointed in the presence of witnesses, that's a kashan of Chista. To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. Kidam Rav Chista, what's the case over here? Now, how does Rav Chista explain this? Bisechira ulekito. We'll say it's actually interesting. The shaliach over here was not someone who was appointed in front of witnesses. Rather, again, the shaliach over here was someone who often does things for Shimon. Literally, again, schira ulekito, Rashi says over here, lekito, shelakto etzlo lador imo beveso, litzav sabba alma. So we'll say lekito means he's a guy who lives around Shimon's house, ultimately helps him with stuff. Right, like a butler type of guy. Usachiro, Rashi says ultimately, again, he's a guy who works for Shimon. So these are people who are very closely associated with Shimon and do work for and on behalf of Shimon, but are not a formally appointed shaliach. So because of that, when they go to get the cow from Reuven, and Reuven chooses to send it with them, that's Reuven assuming the risk. Because these people, as much as they work with Shimon, they are not the agent of Shimon. This particular person, Sri Lakito, is not the agent of Shimon. So therefore, if Reuven sends the cow, Reuven is the owner, sends the cow back to Shimon to borrow with one of these guys, the risk is on Reuven. And if the animal dies in transit, that's on Reuven, not on Shimon. Very interesting. So Tanan, let's analyze this a little bit more. Tanan. Lo yitain lo libno, v'lo lishlucho. So we'll say, so now listen to this. So we'll say, this is our Mishnah, right? So our Mishnah spoke about the idea that if I steal from Reuven, and now again, in our Mishnah's case, I admitted that I swore falsely. So we'll say, so now I want to do tshuva. So what happens? When returning the object, I cannot give it to the victim's son, nor to his shaliach. So Gemara says, hai shlucho hechitami. Once again, what's the case of giving it to the victim's shaliach? What is that case? So the Gemara says, id v'lo asal be'edim. If we're talking about a case where let's say Reuven, the victim, did not appoint the shliach in front of witnesses, minayadina, then I will say, how would anyone know that this is his shliach? Rather, I will say, you see from here that what? Even if Reuven went ahead and appointed the shliach in front of witnesses, I still can't pay back the shliach. I have to pay back Reuven. Who does that contradict? That contradicts Rav Chista. Because Rav Chista said, any time that you go ahead and you appoint a shaliach in the presence of witnesses, halacha lemaisa, so that's an extension of the person himself. Tir gemara Rav Chista, b'schira ulekito. No. It's as we said before, I will say, who's the shaliach in the Mishnah? Schira ulekito. The guys who often work for Reuven, right, to live by Reuven, but are not a formally appointed shaliach. Aval, shliach shasal be'edimai. I will say, what would be if halacha lemaisa, Reuven, the victim, had appointed an actual shaliach in the presence of witnesses? Hachanami da havishliach. Ultimately, again, then that person would be a bona fide shliach. So we'll say, if Reuven, the victim, were to appoint an actual shaliach in the presence of witnesses, I would be permitted to pay back that individual because that individual is considered to be an extension of the principal himself. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, adatani seifa. So we'll say, if that's the case, then when the end of the Mishnah says that if I can't, for whatever reason, track down the victim, that I could go ahead and give the stolen money back to the shaliach of Beis Din. If that's the case, liflog v'lisnei b'didei. We'll say, instead of introducing a new case, why don't you instead go ahead and qualify the first case? Say as follows. Shliach shasa b'edim. So I'm sorry, liflog v'lisnei b'didei. Shliach shasa b'edim. Hachanami. So we'll say, why don't you say the following? Why don't you say like this? when can't you go ahead and return? So I'll say, if I steal from Reuven and I now swear falsely, and then I admit it, so now I have to pay back Karen and Chomesh. So the Mishnah says you have to give it directly to the owner. And you can't give it to a shliach. Why don't you say in the Mishnah, when is it true that you can't give it to the shliach? That's only a shliach that wasn't appointed in front of witnesses. But a shliach that was appointed in front of witnesses, then you could return the stolen money back to that individual. To which the Gemara says, Amri, lo psikale. Here's the problem, I'll say it. The problem is, the Mishnah doesn't quote it because it's not an absolute ruling. How so? Shliach bezdin, lo shna asal nigzal, lo shna asal gazlan, havi shliach psikale. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. When you utilize bezdin as a shliach, so we'll say, now watch this, whether the thief or the victim appointed bezdin as the shliach, ultimately, again, to receive repayment of the stolen object, it works. Doesn't matter who appoints Beis Din. However, I will say, therefore, again, and that because that is an absolute ruling, that's why the Mishnah stated it. However, Shliach Shaso Be'edin, but when it comes to Shliach appointed in front of witnesses, Techi Aso Nigzal Chud Dehavi Shliach, so we'll say, if the victim appointed that Shliach, it works. So the Gemara says, Aso Gazlan Lo Havi Shliach. I will say, but if, let's say, the thief were to appoint the shliach in front of witnesses to work on behalf of the victim, that wouldn't work. Therefore, lo psikale. Therefore, the Mishnah doesn't include it. In other words, the Mishnah only likes to include absolute rulings, doesn't like to go ahead and include qualified rulings. So the Gemara says, ula fuke mi hai tana. And Rabbi says, this comes to exclude the following ruling of the following tana. Which tana? Rabbi says, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, shliach bezdin, shaso nigzal, so we'll say if you have a shliach bezdin that was appointed ultimately by the victim but not by the thief, or ultimately the thief appointed him and then ultimately again the victim sent a shliach to go ahead and collect the item, ultimately potter. So we'll say, so halacha lemaisa, it comes to exclude this opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who holds that ultimately, again, you really need both parties to go ahead and be involved in order to appoint the shliach with Beis Din. So we'll say, so good. Let's pause here for just a second. So what do we have? So first thing I'll say, you should just know, we paskin like Rav Chia. Actually, we're not really finished yet. Let me go a little bit weiter. A little bit weiter first. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Zamri Tarbayu, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar both hold, shliach shasal be'edim havi shliach. If you make a shaliach in front of witnesses, it works. Or as well say, what does it mean it works? What does it mean it works? That the person who appoints that shaliach essentially is making that shaliach an extension of himself. Or both say, like the position of Rav Chista. But then what about our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says that the thief cannot return the stolen object to a shaliach. What do you do with that? B'mamtzi lo shaliach. So we'll say, ultimately, again, that's a case, interestingly enough, the case the Mishnah will say is where, ultimately, again, the victim kind of presents the thief with an opportunity for a shaliach. What does that mean? Listen to this. D'amrele, is li zuzi gabe planyo, velo kamashader luhu. So I'll say this is very interesting. So I'll say the case is going to be the following situation where I stole from Reuven. And what happens? Reuven says to Shaliach, do me a favor. Silver owes me money. He hasn't paid me back yet. Maybe it's because he doesn't have a courier. So why don't you go ahead, go introduce yourself to Silver, give him a Shalom Aleichem, tell him that you know me, Reuven, and maybe he'll send back the money with you. So we'll say, that's much more of the victim kind of presenting the thief with an opportunity to transport the money, but is not formal shlichos. Inami, the other possibility is, kidrav chista b'schiro likito. The other possibility, we'll say, of ultimately, again, of the Mishnah, is talking about a situation where what? Where Allah ha'lamaisa, it's not the formal shaliach of the victim, rather, it's schiro likito, right? The guy works with him, the guy lives with him, but it's not a formal shaliach. So we'll say, so let's pause here for just a second. So here's what we have, we'll say. What we have, number one, is the basic ruling of the Mishnah. What's the basic ruling of the Mishnah? I stole from Reuven, I swear falsely, and then I admit. What's the halacha chayiv? Three things. What are the three things? Number one, Karen, Chomesh, Asham. Both sides, the Mishnah says, in order for me to achieve tshuva, what do I have to do? Return the object directly to the victim. Even though under the normal circumstances, it seems to be without the Shavuah, ultimately I wouldn't have to. But Allah HaMaisi here, because I took a false oath, there's a heightened level of behavior necessary in order to achieve kapara. The Mishnah explicitly says, I cannot give it to Reuben. Reuben is the victim. I cannot give it to Reuben's Shaliach. So now, interestingly enough, how are we setting up that case? So I'm just going to bring this all together. It's if Reuben, the victim, were to appoint a real Shaliach, then I will say, what does it mean to appoint a real Shaliach? What does that mean? What's involved in appointing a Shaliach? You appoint this person in front of witnesses. You are my Shaliach to execute things on my behalf. So I will say, what is the status of such a Shaliach? What is his status? He's an extension of me. That is bona fide shlichos. And I will say, again, plugging that into the Mishnah, if I were to find Reuben's bona fide shaliach, who was appointed in front of witnesses, like a chista, I could return the stolen object to that person. Therefore, when the Mishnah says that I, the thief, can't give it back to the victim shaliach, that's talking about one of two cases. Either schiro ulikito, which is a person who looks like a shliach, but what do I want to say? Looks like a shliach because he's always with Reuven and he's helping Reuven with stuff and doing stuff about Reuven, but he's not a shliach. Or where the victim, told shliach, go and present yourself in front of thief, because maybe he needs a courier, but it's a courier service. It's not an actual shliach. But I will say, but halacha l'maaseh, if Reuven, the victim, were to appoint a real shliach in front of witnesses, that person becomes an extension of the victim himself in accordance with the Psaka Rav Chisda. Incredible. Amar Rav Yehuda Meshua. What says God? Amar Rav Yehuda Meshua. Amar Beis. 104b. Ein Meshaltan Mos B'diyukni Ba'afilu Eidim Chasum Ralov. So we'll say, this is another interesting case over here. So we'll say, once again, this is now not a theft case. Imagine the following scenario. I go ahead and I deposit money with Reuven. I deposit money with Reuven. Okay, and we'll say, now I want to get it back. I want to get my deposit back. So what do? I go ahead and I send the shaliach. Now I will say, now remember, right, just let's play this out. Right? So I send the shaliach to Reuven to go ahead and retrieve my money. So we'll say, so now what's the problem? Guy shows up at Reuven's house, says, here, I'm here representing silver, I'm silver shaliach, give me back the money. If you're Reuven, you're going to say what? Get out of here. I don't know you. Right? And I'm not giving you the money, because if it turns out that you're a fraud, then I'm on the hook again to repay the money to silver. So I have this all thought out. What do? I go ahead and I give him like a Shmuel silver seal, right? I have a seal, a stamp. I give it to Shliach. I say, Shliach, present this. Now you are a credentialed Shaliach, because you're coming with silver's seal. Look at Rashi. B'diyukni Rashi says, Moser lo ba'al pikadon Shliach simanin. V'kasav lo chosmo bi'igeres. So I go ahead, I appoint the Shaliach, and I give the Shaliach like my signature or my seal. U'masor lo v'amor lo leich v'yisrael l'ploni v'yitim l'chamos shi'ish li'biyado. So I give Shaliach, you know, some type of signet or some type of seal. This shows that he's really coming on my behalf. So we'll say, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda says, the name of Shmuel, that this doesn't work. In other words, that Reuven, who's holding onto the pikadon, should not go ahead and give the money to this guy, to the shaliach, because that's not being credentialed enough. Even if it has my seal, and there are witnesses that are signed beneath my seal, ultimately, again, the person, Reuven, the person holding onto the deposit, has a right to say, no, not going to give it back. Not going to give it to this guy. Rabbi Yochanan says, listen, maybe the seal by itself is not enough, but if the shaliach shows up with the seal and there are witnesses signed on it that say this is silver seal, ultimately, again, the person holding onto the pikadon absolutely should return to the shaliach. Okay, so I'm in the Shmuel, my takanta. So now, this is actually pretty interesting. So according to Shmuel, we'll say, so how is it that I could retrieve my money via a shaliach? So I will say, watch, you hear what's happening over here? Right? I went ahead and I deposited money. By the way, I will say, it doesn't matter if it's a deposit or a loan, whatever it is. In other words, but I deposited something with Reuven. Now I want it back. I don't want to go to Reuven myself. So again, I think I have a great idea. I appoint the shaliach, and I give him, you know, my seal. Shmuel's silver seal, and now there's even witnesses signed under the seal that it's my seal. And yet Shmuel says, no, that doesn't really work. In other words, Reuven has the right to say, I'm sorry, but I don't trust this setup because I'm afraid that if I give you the money and something happens in transit, that I'm going to go ahead and be on the hook. So Reuven has a right to refuse to give the money. So Moses says, according to Shmuel, so what does work? Tell me what, Gemara says, my tech hantai. Tell me what does work, because here we can't have a situation, Rabbi Yossi, where I'm going to have to travel to Reuven to get back. No, it doesn't make any sense. I have to be able to somehow affect this through a shlichus. So I'm supposed to say, Rabbi Yossi, Musa Haskell, so the Gemara says, Maita Kante. Rabbi Yossi, in life, in general, it is always easy to point out problems, right? If you want to be a successful person in life, pointing out problems is not the key to success. Be a solution-oriented individual. Okay, there's a problem, I got it. What do you want to do? Both say, my takante is such a good mantra for life. We have my dahava hava, that's always number one, right? And number two is my takante. Good. There's a problem, what's the solution? We can talk about why it's a problem, how it's a problem, it's always been a problem, it's always been wrong, whatever. My takante, what's the solution? How do we navigate through this? So we want to tell you, Ki ha, Rabbi Abba, Habi Masik Zuzi, Rabbi Yosef Barham. We'll listen to this interesting case. This is so interesting. Rabbi Abba lent money to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Barham, okay. Amr le the Rav Safra. Shabbos says, now watch this. So Rabbi Abba, who's the lender, said to Rav Safra, Bahadi de Asis, when you go to visit Rabbi Yosef Barham, do me a favor. I sinu nihile, bring the money back to me. Okay, pretty straightforward. Ki Azala Hassan, so we'll say Rav Safra went to visit Rav Yosef Bar Chama, the borrower. Amrle Rava Bray. So we'll say, now listen to this. So now Rav Safra asked Rav Yosef Bar Chama for the money back, right? He said, here, listen, I'm here representing Rabbi Abba. Give me the money, and let me take it back to the lender. So we'll say, listen to this. Rabbi Abba's son Rava intervened. His Mikasa Vlacha his Kabalti. So do you have a shtar? Do you have a document? Do you have a document from the lender? From Rabbi Abba that says hiskabalti, in other words, that halacha lemaisa, that if my father gives you the money, if he pays you back the money, do you have a shtar that essentially says giving the money to you, Rav Safra, is as if Rabbi Abba has received it? In other words, the son, Rav, is saying, listen, Rav Safra, it's not that we don't trust you, but if my father gives you the money, do we know with certainty that he has fulfilled his obligation and he's done. In other words, do you have a piece of paper or a document that says you are the bona fide agent of collection? And once you receive the money, it's as if Rabbi Abba, the lender, has received the money. Amar lei, lo. Rav Safra said, no, to be honest, Rabbi Abba just asked me the next time I'm in town and I see ultimately again and I see your father, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama, that I should collect the money. But I have no such document. So the Gemara says, Amar Leilo, Ihachi, Zilbore, Shavichtov, Lachahis Kabalti. So Rava says, I'm so sorry, but we're not giving you the money until you have that document. Again, Rava says, by the way, makes perfect sense. It makes absolutely perfect sense. So we're just saying, it's not a question of trust. It's a question of, we can't be in a situation of paying back the money, giving you the money, and yet still being responsible if something happens to the money. Amrale, lo, says, Ihaki, Zilbrei Shavichtav Lacha Hiskabalti. So Rav Safra, why don't you go back to Rabbi Abba, and go ahead and just get this document that says that Halacha Lemaisa, giving it to Rav Safra, is as if I, Rabbi Abba, have received the money. Lusof Amrale, so let's listen to this. So then Rava, the son, said, the truth is, I kasav lacha nami Hiskabalti, lav klumhu. The truth is, even if Rav Safra would write to you his kabalti, it's as if this person received it. Even if Rabbi Abba wrote to you Rav Safra, that when it comes to Rav Safra's hands, it's as if I, Rabbi Abba, the lender, received it. That's not going to be enough either. Why? Dilma ad da'asis shachif Rabbi Abba v'naflo zuzei kami yasme vis kabalti Rabbi Abba lav klumu. But say, watch this. Rabbi Abba apparently was an older man. So therefore, again, with Rava, the son of Rav Yosef was concerned about was like this. Rav Safra, even if you go back to Rabbi Abba and you get a document that says when you Rav Yosef pay back the money to Rav Safra, it's as if I, Rabbi Abba, have received it. The concern is that by the time repayment happens, what's going to happen? Rabbi Abba died. If Rabbi Abba died, Rabbi Abba is no longer the owner of the loan. Who's the owner of the loan? The Yarshim, the inheritors. And therefore, that document essentially is meaningless. Is meaningless. In which case, Rava says, my father, Rav Yosef, is still on the hook for the money. So, so Parabi Safra is like, okay, what do you want from me? Right? So, okay, my takanta. So, what would you like me to do? So, we'll say it's incredible. Zil nikninhu lecha, agav ara, v'ta'at kasavlan hiskabati. Wow, wow, wow. So, we'll say Rabba was clearly a good businessman as well. So, this is like this. Rabbi Safra, here's what I want. Here's what I want. You go back to Rabbi Abba. Obviously, Rabbi Abba goes ahead and trusts you. Rabbi Abba should be makne the loan to you. Of Safra. In other words, he should be makne, and literally it says, he should be makne the loan to you, agav ara. So remember again, a loan is movable property. Movable property, ultimately, again, you could transfer ownership of movable property. How? Through real property. So essentially, let Rabbi Abba transfer the loan to you through real property. Let him give you a small piece of land, and with that piece of land, he'll give you the loan. Now you're the creditor. Now you're a Safra, the creditor. Okay, so now you're the creditor. You show up at my father's house, Rabbi Abba's house. And now again, when my father pays you, then again, I will say, what's happening over here? Done. Done. You're the owner. Now I will say, now obviously, this only works if what? This only works if there is a sense of trust, ultimately again, between Rav Safra, ultimately again, and Rabbi Abba. But this is the way to do it. And then we could feel secure, ultimately going ahead and repaying the debt. We can feel secure repaying the debt. Incredible. Kihadira Papa Hava Masak Tresa Arfal Zuze Bechazai. It's fascinating. So let's listen to this. Ezra Papa lent 12,000 Zuz Bechazai to a person in Bechazai. So we'll say, what happened? Now, we'll say, obviously, Rav Papa wanted to get paid back. But yet again, the borrower was not going to give it to necessarily an intermediary because, again, that's a big risk. So what happened? Achninu Nehili L'Rav Shulam Bar Abba. Agav Asefa de Beise. So what did he do? So what did Rav Papa do? He was makne. He went ahead and he conveyed ownership of the loan over to Rav Shmuel Bar Abba. Agav Asefa de Beise, with the threshold of his home, which means he conveyed to him ownership over a small piece of land. And with that small piece of land, he conveyed to him ultimately again the debt itself. So now Bosei, so now what happened? So now Rav Shmuel Bar Abba went to collect the debt. Ki asa nafik la pe atavach. I will say, ultimately, Rav Papa was so happy, right? When Rav Shmuel Bar Abba came back, because Rav Shmuel Bar Abba came back with the money, he went out to greet him at Tavach, all the way out. In other words, he went a far distance to greet him because he was so happy. So Rav will say, what comes out from here is something really interesting. You know, I will say, we take it for granted. So today, somebody does something on your behalf, even if you're not there geographically, the ability to corroborate this is easy. Rav will say, but this is so fascinating, right? So here in these cases, like this, Rabbi Abba lent Rav Yosef all of this money. Rabbi Abba wants to send Rav Safra to go ahead and collect the money. The problem is a liability issue. A liability issue or a responsibility issue. So Rabbi Abba wants to repay the money via Rav Safra. The problem is, if he does so, who has responsibility in that moment? So obviously, you know, we'll say, if halacha lemaisa is going full circle, if halacha lemaisa creditor appoints an agent in front of witnesses, then that's a bona fide shlichos, assuming that what? Debtor knows that occurred. But if debtor doesn't know that occurred, he has no idea what to know. So then what do? Creditor could essentially transfer the debt over to Shaliach. Shaliach becomes new creditor. New creditor shows up to debtor. Debtor pays back new creditor. Debtor is now done. And Shaliach, new creditor, then comes back and gives back the money ultimately to old creditor. I'll say, stop over here for today. Tremendous, tremendous. Shkoyach, what a day. All right, everyone, have a great day, everyone.